It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, May 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. On his tour of the Western Slope this week, Governor John Hickenlooper signed a bill to create a grant program to help communities fight invasive plants that threaten riparian areas in Colorado. KBNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
House Bill 1006 creates the Invasive Phreatophyte Grant Program. This is Governor John Hickenlooper at the bill signing ceremony in Montrose on Tuesday.
Phreatophytes are those trees and bushes, but trees generally like Russian olive or tamarisk, that just suck up water.
Hickenlooper says these invasive plants can go through hundreds of gallons of water a day.
It's almost like they're a swamp cooler for nobody's benefit.
The measure sets aside $2 million from the Colorado Water Conservation Board Construction Fund. It will provide grants for phreatophyte management projects. Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose sponsored the bill. He calls the invasive plants water thieves that threaten riparian areas.
I truly believe that the eradication of the phreatophytes is the first tool in the Colorado water plan.
Corum says these plants are a problem in his district and across the state.
Well, if you travel the Colorado River, the Dolores River example, it's a thicket in many areas that you can't even walk through. But it's also a water quality issue because the tree sucks up the water and it drops the salt, so nothing else really wants to grow there.
The Colorado Water Conservation Board will oversee the program and distribute grants for projects. The program is set to end in 2018. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The Telluride School District just made a huge investment into their energy supply. They've bought a section of solar panels from the San Miguel Power Association at their array in Paradox Valley. This is Superintendent Kyle Schumacher.
We've got an addition that will be going on to the school in the next year or so, and we're looking for ways to be more energy efficient, more green. Telluride has a lot of green initiatives here, and we really want to support that. So this option came up for us to purchase these panels, which will 100% offset energy use in the new additions that we have, as well as probably a total offset within the district of between 75 to 83% of our energy usage.
The school district is spending about $1.4 million to buy those solar panels. Schumacher says that it's not just about being green. It makes financial sense.
When you purchase them, they take care of maintaining them and servicing them, so they keep them clean, they repair any cells that are damaged. The anticipated payback over the life span will be over $4.5 to $5 million. So we'll save that much in our energy cost, probably with payback occurring within the first 10 to 12 years.
He says that as far as he knows, they'll be the most solar-powered school in the state. A U.S. district judge ruled recently the federal government was wrong in its approval of the expansion of two coal mines in northwest Colorado. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The decision, which was years in the making, is a victory for Wild Earth Guardians, the plaintiff in the suit. They contended that when the government okayed the expansion of the two mines, they failed to consider the impacts that all the mined coal would have on the climate. The judge agreed and gave the Interior Department 120 days to remedy that. Jeremy Nichols is the program director for climate and energy for the organization. He says that the government will now review the expansion with climate change in mind.
And at the end of the day, they could still make the same decision. That's the important thing here, is that our lawsuit was simply about ensuring that the government was looking before it leaped. And certainly if the government wants to leap in the direction of approving more coal mining, that's their prerogative. We feel that the most important thing right now is to at least get an honest assessment of what the impacts are going to be.
If this all sounds familiar, it's because it's more or less the same argument, the same issue, that halted the expansion of a coal mine outside of Paonia last year. Nichols understands that these legal actions have put a lot of uncertainty in the communities near the mines.
You know, this is a Colorado issue, but it's much bigger, obviously. And, you know, the Department of the Interior manages vast amounts of coal throughout the western U.S., including in northwest Colorado. And I think if we can't get the Interior Department to acknowledge the ultimate impacts of operating more coal mining, then our nation is going to be struggling to make effective progress in combating climate change. And so, obviously, there's local implications here, but it's much bigger than just Colorado.
The two coal mines in this recent case supplied a tri-state power plant. Governor Hickenlooper has expressed he's upset by the decision and may be looking into appealing the ruling. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The latest fire season forecast is out for Colorado, and things are looking better for the state. The last report was released at the beginning of April. It was a dry winter, and up to that point, a very dry spring. This is Lawrence Lujan with the Rocky Mountain Area Coordination Center.
So in late April and early May, we've received weather patterns that have brought beneficial moisture to much of Colorado, and long-range forecasts for the remainder of this spring and summer indicate drier conditions over portions of western Colorado. So this year, Colorado is expecting a below-average to average fire season.
So overall, the state looks good, but there still are some worryingly dry areas west of the Continental Divide.
Fire season in Colorado is most active during the months of May through September, with June being the most active. With the moisture that we have been receiving the last couple of weeks, we're definitely going to see a delay in this year's fire season.
He says that this year's fire season will likely be worse than last year, but much better than 2012 and 2013. A measure to study how to avoid closures and ease congestion on I-70 was signed into law yesterday. Supporters had hoped it would go even further, but the bill was watered down during the legislative session. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
Democratic Representative Diane Mitch Bush of Steamboat Springs sponsored House Bill 1173. Originally, it would have expanded the times when drivers are required to use snow tires or chains. It would also have allowed the Colorado Department of Transportation to put up more electronic warning signs.
That bill passed out of the House. 43-21, a bipartisan vote, went over to the Senate and languished and stalled.
And now it's a study.
And so we will continue, as we have for many years, to study I-70.
Mitch Bush says the data shows that over the last several years, closures due to passenger vehicles have increased. Under current law, a driver responsible for a lane closure can face a $500 fine. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for the Sweet Sound with Pete and Alex and the Universe. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.